testimony. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all waiting on the close. That was it right there. he says that we have some punishment. Verse 6 said, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Amen. You better watch when you keep saying, this just burning me up. They burn me up. Well, yeah, you just got out of Christ. They can burn you up because, you know, it's hard to burn a green branch. One with sap and life in it. I wish I had somebody. But once it's dead, it's easy to burn. It'll burn fast. And so I'm not so easy to get burned up. Oh, you got to put some stuff on me to burn me up. Now, because I'm able to stand against someone. And, you know, that is the main reason why the fire couldn't touch Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because the Bible says that as they went into the fiery furnace, they said, look, if God don't deliver us, he's still able. That doesn't mean that God can't. But when they went in there, the Bible said that Nebuchadnezzar said, didn't we throw in three? Why is it that we see? We got to understand that whatever you go through, if you're connected with God, then when you're connected, the fire can't even burn you. Oh, let me preach a little bit here. Not only that, the lions can't eat you. The Red Sea can't drown you. If you're connected, oh, yes. Do I have anybody that say, I'm connected? So when my trials come my way, can't nothing hold me down. Can't nothing destroy me because I got purpose. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to try to finish this. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Hell can't handle me because I'm anointed by God. And most of all, death can't hold me down because I'm anointed. Glory be to God. How do you think Jesus went to hell and came out with those that went before him? Because they connected to the message and he took captivity captive. And if you read the Bible, it says, and when he rose, he wasn't the only one. They said, oh, saints of old. I wish I had somebody. They got up with him, but he said, oh, y'all got to go back. Because that ain't that day yet. Come on and say amen. But we got to understand here that it's because of our connection with him that not only will we escape the flames of hell, but even the sting of death has no power over us. Glory be to God. Somebody should have said thank you. Glory be to God. He says not only is there punishment, but let's read further. There's privilege. Verse 7 said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Don't that sound like privilege? Yes. Oh, I know we've been hearing a whole bunch of talk about white privilege and things like that in these days. You know, we hear it on the news and people talking about it and some people get angry about it because they ain't got to do nothing. They just, you know, by nepotism, they just get whatever it is because they can go to the bank and get a loan and you can't go get that same loan. You can't get that same interest rate. You know, we get all upset and all bent out of shape, but we have an advantage too. I'm not going to just go to the bank. I'm going to go to the one who owned cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm going to go to the one who said all the silver is mine, all the gold is mine. The Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and they that dwell therein. I'm going to the owner. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. He said that, look, you got some privilege. He said, if you abide in me. And
we know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries Thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
From the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 9. Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 9. And I want you to read it. I want you to read it. And I want us to look at this verse. Now, I don't intend to be long, but I'm going to be as long as I need to be. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. Do you have it?
Yes.
Begin reading now. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. What a powerful proverb we have before us. One of the things that I am most careful to do is to examine scripture that best explains what it is that the writer is trying to convey to the hearer's heart. And so instead of spending a lot of time this morning vivisecting the text, I want to just translate it as the New Living Translation has done. And it says, love prospers. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven. Then the second part of the B clause of that verse says, but dwelling on it separates close friends. But dwelling on it separates close friends. Now, here is what I want us to understand. This is not only for our young people, and this is not only for those of us who have had issues with folk in our lives, etc., but this is for every believer in Christ to understand that love prospers. Prospers. What does the word prosper here entail? In this context, the word prosper means that one will accomplish the purpose for which it is called, caused, or given. In other words, that you accomplish what it is that God intends for you to accomplish. Love prospers. Now, you can't skip love, because love is that part of God that's in us. Amen. We can't say we love God whom we've never seen and hate our brother whom we see every day. The Bible tells us somebody's lying. And I believe that old song that Church of God in Christ folks sung more than the Baptists, I know the Bible is right. Somebody's wrong. But I know the Bible is right. And so many of us don't understand that you can't say you love God and won't forgive your brother or your sister whom you see every day, whom you worship with on Sunday mornings, who you have fellowship with, who you say you're praying for and they're praying for you, and yet you can't even forgive one another? And you serve on some board or some ministry, or you're in some position or of leadership or authority, and you're having issues with your brothers and sisters. It's all right for them to have issues with you because they don't know you like you know you and God knows you. So sometimes you got to show them you by loving them when they're unlovable. Isn't that what the Lord did with us? While we were yet sinners, Christ what? Died for us? How much more should we show that kind of love for those who have not yet come to that place of love? And so love prospers. It accomplishes what God wants it to do when we learn how to forgive. Do you know, some of us have got it together except when it comes to forgiveness. Here's the problem with that. I don't care how together I've got it in every other area of my life. If it comes to the point where I have not learned how to forgive folk who have offended me, who have hurt me, who have harmed me, who have misused me, who have abused me, if I've not learned that Jesus came to be the primary example, took all of that on himself so that he can show me how to love those who despitefully use you, pray for those who don't treat you right, hate you and all the rest. I got the greatest example in Jesus, and if I can't take from that example, my question is, where can I learn from? Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 all the way through 13. Jesus is teaching the disciples what's deemed the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. But right after he gets through teaching them the Lord's Prayer, he teaches them the principle of forgiveness. Verse 14, I want you to read it, Matthew chapter 6, 14. I don't want to preach to you. I want to preach so that you can understand me. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. I want you to hear what the Lord says. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Read it. If ye forgive men, if you can get past if, you can handle the rest of it. But if ye will forgive men their trespasses, what will your Heavenly Father do? He will forgive you your trespasses. Now that's good, that's good, that's good. But verse 15 is in the Bible. Read what verse 15 says. Oh, wait, stop. All together now, read.
Oh.
Now listen at this now. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Now let me ask a question of you today. Is it worth not forgiving men their trespasses? What have they done? One thing, two things, three things. You know, we usually don't let them get past three. Strike one. Strike two. You got one more time. All right, go ahead. Keep on. When you get to three, we done wrote them off. We have written them off. We have scratched them off our list. We have said, listen, you are on call block. Don't call me. Don't text me. I ain't got nothing to do with you. And matter of fact, when I hear your name, it makes me sick to my stomach. Now here's what you need to think of. When you get to that point, and you decide you are not going to forgive. No, he knew what he was doing. She knew what she was doing. No, they did that because they wanted to do that. No, I'm not going to forgive them. They ain't make no mistake. They ain't sorry. Everything you're saying about them, does it not reflect back on you? How many times have you done stuff you know wasn't right? And the Lord saw you. How many times did you ask the Lord for forgiveness of the same sin over and over and over, and you meant it what you said it, but you still did it again, but you want God to forgive you? Come on, talk to me, somebody, if you can. How many times have we been in the position that we hold others to that we ourselves don't live up to? So the Father says, Jesus, if you forgive men theirs, your Father will forgive you yours. But if you don't forgive them theirs, your Father. And then I got to thinking about that. See, that was sins that we've committed that other folk don't even know about. But the Father does. Now, why would I hold three sins against them, unforgiveness against them, when the Father has a book against me? Am I talking to anybody in the house? See, you can sit up here and act holier than thou on Sunday, but the Lord know what you did last night, last week, last year, on and on and on. He knows it all. You can't hide from him. And then he even knows the secret sins. I ain't talking about the stuff you put in a diary and didn't tell nobody. I'm talking about the stuff you were thinking if I had an opportunity. Jesus. He knew my thoughts. The only reason why some of us are not in trouble today is just because we didn't get, help me somebody. It ain't because we've been so perfect, and it ain't because we've been so right. Some of us happen to sneak under the cover of darkness, and we think men didn't see us, but there is a light that shines from heaven. That darkness is just as bright as the noonday light, and he sees everything. So we can't hide anything from him. And so when we have to forgive others, it's more so that God can forgive us. Turn your Bibles. Well, this last scripture I want to share with you, then I'll go back to my scripture. Galatians chapter 6, just the first verse. You can read the whole chapter if you want, but I just want to pause at verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, And I want you to pause at the first word. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Say the first word.
Brethren.
Ah. Brethren. It's talking about a group of believers, folk who say that they have been saved, folk who say that they have been changed, folk who say that they belong to God. Brethren, if a man be what? Overtaken suggests that it was more than he could handle. Somebody has said the only reason why men fall is because they no longer have strength to stand. And so if a man is overtaken in a fault, it means that the fault has taken authority over him. It means that the fault has addicted him to the place that he no longer controls the addiction, but the addiction controls him. Overtaken in a fault, ye which are what?
Spiritual.
Say it again.
Spiritual.
One more time.
Spiritual.
Don't be scared of the word. Ye which are spiritual, here's what you need to do. Restore such an one in the
spirit.
You can't be spiritual without the spirit. And you have to have a spirit of being spiritual, because they're one and the same. One is the source and the other is the resource of it. And so you need to realize, if you are spiritual, then you do spiritual things by the Spirit. It connects with your spirit and causes you to be controlled by the Spirit. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of what?
Meekness.
Like Jesus. You remember when the woman was caught in adultery? And all of these highfalutin, big and mighty church folk caught her in adultery. Jesus knew it wasn't a caught in adultery situation, it was a setup in an adultery situation. Because to commit adultery, y'all know this already, it's got to be two. One can't commit adultery by themselves. You need a partner. And so if they caught her in the very act of adultery, that means the man was there. But my question to you is, where is the man? They brought the woman, but they didn't bring the man. Why? Because it was a setup. And I want to throw this out parenthetically. I need you to know that the devil is always trying to set up the people of God. Now listen at this, listen at this. In our moments of weakness, the devil is trying to set us up. Be careful, because the devil don't mean you any good. So they bring the woman and they have a sheet wrapped around her and they throw her down in the front of Jesus, and Jesus is teaching, and he sees through all of this. And they said, you know, Master, Moses and the law said when one has been caught in adultery, that they should be stoned to death. And Jesus is looking, because he's like, now, I could stone them because I'm the only perfect one here. But for me to be right with the law, I need to stone her and him. And since he ain't here, then I'll wait till you bring him. and then we'll see what we'll do with that. But they never intended to bring him. So he stooped down on the ground and he began to write. And I keep telling folk, everything Jesus did, even when he spat on the ground, made spittle, anointed a man's eye, told him to go to the pool of Siloam, wash, he came back seeing. And all of that was because he simply spit on the ground. Made a spittle, made a paste and pasted. Everything he did had purpose to it. So when he wrote on the ground, what did he write? Some suggest. Some suggest he wrote sins on the ground. First time. Yeah, adultery, hatred, unforgiveness, on and on. Just writing on down and right now. And they said, but Master, what do you say? And Jesus said, he who is without fault, let him cast the first stone. And then he stooped down again and started writing names. Help me, Marlon. And from the eldest to the youngest, the elders were in the front of the line and they're looking. So they caught sins. And then they caught names. They saw sins. And they saw names. The older men said, he might start connecting these names with the sin. Now, I know what I did, but I ain't trying to let everybody else know what I did. They turned around and walked out. Then the younger walked up and they looked. They took them out. And then when it finally got down to the end, Jesus said, woman, where are thy accusers? She looked around. Ain't nobody here, Lord. So he said, well, I tell you what, the ones who were going to stone you, since they didn't stone you, I'm not going to do it either. Go and sin no more. How more meek could Jesus have handled that woman, still in righteousness, calling her attention to the fact that what you did, I don't condone. But neither am I going to condemn you if you realize I'm giving you another chance. How many of us have received another chance? I just want real folk to wave their hands if you received another chance. I don't care what it was about. If you received another chance, come on, give him praise in the house today. Thank God for another chance. Listen. The Bible says, love prospereth when a fault is forgiven. A man who had a problem with this issue asked the Lord to reveal it to him, and he prayed that night and went to sleep, and the Lord showed him a conversation with a pencil. The pencil and the eraser had a conversation. And as he saw in his dream, the pencil was long and thin. The eraser was short and small. The eraser sat on the head of the pencil. And the pencil's job was to make a mark.